Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy.
Hello, and today our guest is Kelly Puxty. And a public thank you, Kelly, for just rescheduling and working with it. We're so excited to be able to kind of share a whole lot about what you do. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Kathy. Great to be here. No problem. I completely understand what it's like at this time of year. Yeah, it's good to chat with you today.
Yeah, indeed. So it's just even exciting to think about where to start. But let's just kind of go back 6 years. Okay. What did you and Shelley, your business partner, have in mind 6 years ago?
Yeah, so at the time, Kathy, Shelley and I were working for Aruma, a large service provider.
Yeah.
And we're here based in Newcastle. So it was a pilot area for the NDIS. And we worked in the area of support coordination, and everything was quickly evolving at that time. Probably 6 years ago, as you mentioned. As a support coordinator with a caseload of about 38 people, I found it really difficult to find services for people, like the right services. So there was all these new service providers entering the market, and the ones that were already in the market were changing what they did. And every participant I looked after had different needs. So it was just really hard to keep up, you know, keep your finger on the pulse with what was out there. So we're thinking there must be an easier way to find out rather than ringing the 1-800 numbers and emailing and never getting a response or spending a whole day wandering around an expo. So that's how it all happened, just being in the thick of it, being in the thick of support coordination, and it just sparked an idea. How about we run a really quick networking event, which isn't your standard networking event. It's based on a speed dating format. So it's,
yeah,
it's fun, it's quick, it's interactive, it's sort of over in two and a half hours. So, you know, we live in a world where everyone's really time poor, so it works well that way as well. So, yeah, basically we set up the room with 25 providers, so it's quite boutique-y, and the range of providers is quite diverse, accommodation, employment, support work, you name it, it's there. So the providers host a table, and then the support coordinators come in, the LACs, teachers, participants, parents and carers. Yeah, anyone sort of wanting to know what's in their community, and they come in, they're the speed daters. So they have 5 minutes at each table. We time it, we ring a bell, and they move on to the next table. So it's sort of fast and furious, and people are in and out, but it's enough time for them just to make that initial connection, and then they can follow up later with any providers that they think, you know, will be suitable.
Yeah.
So, it's great. We do 130 of them now. Our first year, we ran 30. Yeah. And now we cover all states, all territories, and go to all the little communities as well, as we don't want them to miss out. So keeps us out of trouble.
Oh, I think what we need to put in here, Kelly, is that it's really official and that it's your business and it sits under the banner of one community.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So tell us about one community. When did you kind of step it up into a whole big entity and drive?
Yes. So it was that small idea about trying to help support coordinators out. We thought, so we went out on our own. We were just sort of ready for a bit of a challenge and ran a few locally around Newcastle. It just, grew from there. And we just realized how important in this NDIS space it was for people to connect. We were going from a traditional model where providers sort of worked in isolation and wanted to, you know, control all their participants and didn't want participants going to other providers, where it's, you know, a world now where a participant has a support, has their support worker with one provider and their accommodation with another. So It's trying to get the providers to collaborate as well and, yeah, connect, share ideas, share knowledge, and that sort of sparks innovation as well and thinking outside the square. So it's just sort of evolved from that, Kathy. And we run boutique ones now too, so not just the generic original, we like to call them the OGs, the Ready, Set, Connects. We now do some specialised ones as well, which are much more targeted. So we do a Ready, Set, Connect home, which is just for accommodation providers and people looking for a home. We do one called Ready, Set, Connect Transition, which is for school leavers, one for innovation. So that's assistive tech providers connecting with occupational therapists and support coordinators. So we're going into those sort of areas too, because we found that some people like coming to the generic ones where they meet all different providers, but there are other people that just want a certain service and that suits them a little bit better.
Yeah. At this point, listeners are probably just imagining you with a jetpack on your back just zooming all over the country, but you have a team of 14 incredible humans. Tell us about who's on your team.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I think for the first 18 months, it was just Shelley and I. At that stage, we were only doing 30 events, but it was pretty much like that. We were just one airport to the next. I mean, we had an absolutely fantastic time doing it, and we weren't really paying ourselves much. It was just, you know, trying to get it up off the ground.
Which is fun for a while.
Oh, it was, and I had a little girl. She was just starting school, so I had to get someone in to help with her. And yes, I did. You know, you do have to make sacrifices. But now, yeah, we have a team of 15 now, so it's gradually grown over that time, and we can share the travel a lot more. I don't do as much travel. I maybe do 12 events a year, and we spread it across the team. We have staff spread out around the country too to help with the travel. So we have Queensland-based staff, Melbourne-based staff, Sydney-based staff. And they all love the events. Everyone's always putting their hands up to do more events because they love going to the events. Don Elgin is a Paralympian, or ex-Paralympian now, but he is our head of events. So he heads up that team. He is a motivational speaker, is his original profession. So he's great at hosting the events. People absolutely love him. So he heads up the events team, which is made up of great enthusiastic people. So we're very lucky.
So the events to look for, it's really clear on your website, is the Ready, Set, Connect, and that's the speed dating 2.5 hours networking events.
Yes.
And I think you're really, really clever going in for those bespoke sort of focused events. Because you're right, there's a need for both, isn't there? Starting out or wanting to refresh your entire, you know, support crew. You
might go for that's the general right.
one, but at times you just need some expertise and focused conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I find with this generic, the original Ready, Set, Connects, we get a lot of new support coordinators to those ones because they're just trying to get their head around the whole industry and what's out there. So that really suits them. But then your support coordinators that have been around for a while are looking, for more specific stuff.
So back to the one community business that you run. Why would I want to become a member? I'm just generally curious because I've read about it. But what's the membership?
Well, we have a really diverse range of members as well. We have small regional members, state members, and national members. And they're just typically providers that are looking to increase their client base, looking to raise their brand awareness, and, just connect with other providers. So we get some providers that are new to the industry and they've heard that our events are the way to grow their business. We also have providers that have been around for a long time and just join up year to year and feel like they get a lot out of our events and we're instrumental in growing their business. So that's nice to hear.
You must provide a link to that in the show notes, right? So it's really
applicable
for people who want to follow up.
Absolutely.
And then in your spare time, you run this little insignificant event called the Australian Disability Services Conference and Awards.
Yes, we
how
do.
Did that which come about? How was that a glass of wine? What was that about?
It was a little bit actually. Yes, what we found when we were traveling around is there's so many great stories out there, especially in little remote towns and you hear a lot of the negative stuff in the media, and we felt that the good stuff wasn't being celebrated enough. So I think it was actually over a wine, I think it is now, specific awards gala dinner that acknowledges, you know, stuff that's happening in the NDIS space. So we came up with the idea and we talked to a few people and, it's grown from there. But we've also found it's a good way to bring the level of service up across the industry because it's setting a benchmark almost for others to follow. Mm-hmm. They're hearing what others are doing and going, oh, wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to lift our game a little bit. So it's sort of helped in that area too. But it's definitely a lot bigger than what we thought when we were having that wine chatting about it. But, oh, yeah, we'll just run an awards night. Too easy. But turns out it needs a full-time person for 12 months. And we're 2 weeks in, 2 weeks to go today, actually, Kathy. So she's working around the clock, Amy. She's another former Paralympian, the absolute legend and event extraordinaire. So she's busy putting the final touches together for that.
How many years has the conference and awards been running?
We're in the third year now, so we're in Melbourne this year at the Exhibition and Conference Centre, so that should be a great venue. It has a conference during the day, as you mentioned, and then leads into the awards at night time. So it's a big day. We, by the time midnight clicks over, we have all these grand intentions of partying all night long, but we're fast asleep. Yes, that's right.
I was having a look at the program on the awards, and I think Bill Shorten has said he's going to
be
there. But I've got to say, I'm a huge fan of Graham Innes.
Yes. So Graham, he's such a lovely guy and so wise as well. So we're really happy we snagged him. Well, he's coming to the awards, but he's also our keynote speaker for the conference during the day. So he's going to talk about the NDIS review and the impact that's going to have on, you know, the service side of things. So that should be an interesting chat. Our conference is a little bit different where it's for the workforce, delivered by the workforce. So we go out to our service providers or to every service provider and call for abstracts. And that's abstract process. It brought in about 70 different abstracts. So then we have a conference panel that has the task of sifting through those and picking the right ones. So we've come up with a really good program that looks at innovation. I'm just trying to think what the pillars are. There's innovation.
Now so we can talk to it. Keep talking.
Yeah. So we've got innovation. You correct me if I'm wrong. Successful service delivery.
Yeah.
There is people and culture, which is, you know.
Support coordination.
Very topical and support coordination. Yeah. So there's, presentations that fit into each of those streams with Graham heading it up at the beginning. Yeah. So,
and I guess what struck me about the program is that it is really quite, it's an all-rounder, if you like. There's
yes.
a lot of significant household names that a lot of
yes.
people would know, but then there's also businesses that I thought, oh, my gosh, I haven't looked at, I wonder what they're up to. And I was looking to make our appointment to start. And there's smaller organisations there that have got, it's that small but mighty kind of piece, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And we've got something to learn from everybody, and that's what we find along the way on our travels, the people that we meet, and to find out these extraordinary things.
From time to time, we're asked about, from business owners, and we work with allied health business owners, should I apply for awards? Are they worth it? Are they a lot of work? Or what would you get out of it? What would your answer to them be?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I think, there is a bit of effort to it. We try to keep ours pretty streamlined, but it is important to put in a quality nomination because, you know, after all, that's what the judging panel goes off. So you do see a wide range of quality in the nominations, but there's so much credibility that comes along with being an award winner or a finalist, and you can, you know, put it on the footer of your email or on your website, and it makes you stand out from the crowd. I mean, if you're someone that's researching different services and there's one that's won awards, it's one that you're probably going to lean towards. And I think also if you're someone looking for work, You know, it's a competitive market out there trying to get good staff, but if you've got awards to your name, you're probably more likely to attract better candidates. And the other thing, Kathy, I think is people that work for the organisation, it's a great way to recognise them and all their hard work, because we don't often stop and celebrate staff and what they're doing. And so, yeah, it's good for staff morale as well.
Yeah. I've worked with a couple of our clients through the application process, and this is more the entry levels of Telstra, but a lot of the local municipalities have really amazing business award programs where they will actually coach you through how to apply.
Great.
And I remember really, really enjoying the process, and it was really smart and really interesting and really gave the business owner a lot of food for thought, if you like, and really got them thinking. And I think between the two of us, as the coach, we were able to come up with all sorts of examples that for this business owner just felt like business as usual. Well, doesn't everybody do that? And I'm going, no, they don't do it like that.
Remember
that you did, and we tried it for 6 months, and you know, then you just absorbed it, and it was really, really good. Not only a reflective practice, but a real sort of celebration, and just an ability to kind of hold some authority and hold some presence.
That's it. Feel good about yourself. Yeah. And it's a free marketing exercise, really. I mean, other than if you're going to travel to the awards, but, you know, we engage a PR company as well. So they do a nationwide sort of media release and targeted on the communities where there's finalists. So, very much worth their while.
One community has got the Ready, Set, Connect speed dating networking events going. It's got a membership piece.
Yes.
Does one community do anything else, or anything else that we haven't mentioned?
That is pretty much it. So we do, so we're busy. We're an events-based company that revolves around connections. So we do the Ready, Set, Connects for 130 throughout the year, and finish off with the big event at the end of the year, the dinner, ATSCA, which we like to refer to it as. So that's busy enough.
Yeah.
And we do keep coming up with ideas too, Kathy, the staff. What about this? What about that? And it's often we just have to go, hold back. Like we feel we've had this huge growth and we just need a period of stabilisation. So we're just sort of trying to hold back. We've got a few little ideas clicking over in our head. So maybe next year we'll start looking at those.
Well, that's what I was going to inquire about. You must have read my mind. We're recording this towards the end of 2023. What do you think our community will get up to in 2024?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know. And it'll be interesting with this review as well. I'm interested in how the aged care reform stuff's going to look, and whether that's going to align with the NDIS, and that could sort of change the way we do things as well. I'm hoping the NDIA has some administration changes, so that's all smoother process for participants and not so stressful. Yeah. So, I mean, it's only going to get better.
About the review?
Kathy?
Any hunches about the review?
No, I don't. It's all a little bit vague, and I'm hoping Graham can enlighten us a little bit. But they do keep saying that they're going to fix the administration side of the NDIA, so it's a more personable experience for participants. Like, it's just so hard now for a participant to ring up the NDIA and get answers on their plan or have changes to the plan, and it's, you know, often shouldn't be a stressful experience. It's meant to help them. So I'm hoping there's some changes around that.
So our community is a business. You don't have to mention all the secrets. Anything you're thinking you might look at
In terms of growth?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to really focus on these specialty events and growing those. So we're looking at getting into the mental health space there, and also early intervention. So there would be two new areas for next year. But who knows what else?
Are there any geographical areas that you're not getting into yet?
Not really. We do tend to go places where people give us a call. We often get a phone call saying, oh, I've heard about your events, can you come to our community? And and we work with them to get it off the ground. We don't like to go into communities just cold and no one knows us and think, who are you? So we try to work with the local communities. So, we go to a lot of regional areas. I don't know what the breakdown is, but they're our more favourite ones too.
Mm.
Very friendly and have a cuppa and,
yeah.
Bit of a chat.
Yeah. And the awards, the Australian Disability Services Conference and Awards, they're going to go from strength to strength as well?
I think so. Well, every year they grow. With the awards this year, we've packed the room out at 420 people.
Wow.
So that sold out a number of weeks ago. So that's huge. And the conference too, we've got up to about 250 with that at the moment. And last year we had 200. So that's growing as well. So it's just, I guess, yeah, so it's our third year and it's just word of mouth after a while. And more and more people hear about it and we get more nominations each year and more conference abstracts. So, yeah.
Hey there. Okay, it's time for a breather. Did you know about our Allied Health Biz Quiz? This is not just any quiz. It's a roadmap to growth, tailored specifically for allied health business owners like you. Hundreds of business owners have taken our free quiz and received their own customized report. And if you have already, then kudos to you. We hope you found it useful. But if you haven't yet, our free quiz takes less than 6 minutes to complete. It asks a series of questions based on our tried and trusted business accelerators. Think of the Allied Health Biz Quiz as a tool to measure where you're at, what's working, and how to build on what you already have. This quiz isn't about pointing out what's wrong with your business. It's about setting standards, measuring progress, and uncovering areas for improvement. Complete the Allied Health Biz Quiz today. You'll receive your own detailed customized report loaded with practical suggestions to help you get the best business brilliance outcomes. You can find the link in the show notes or on our website at naker.com.au. And now it's back to the conversation.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horoscopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
Is the conference during the day available online?
It is. And that's a separate website to One Community. It's adska.com.au, but I can put that in the notes as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So love it, love it, love it. I'm curious to know a little bit about the business side of things. So you've got your business partner, Shelley. What are you learning about being business owners through all of this change?
Yeah, the growth is hard, I'm learning. So I think it's funny, your dream is just to grow as a business and have more staff. But the more you grow, the more challenges it presents. But having said that, we've got the best team and we have no staff turnover. We have a hoot of a time. But I think that's what I learned. And I think Shell and I thought the more staff we get, the more we'd step away. But
is that what's happening?
Not really. because we're just taking on more things. So Shell and I's role is to help get things off the ground. So when we're talking about the mental health event, we'll start working on that together to get it off the ground. We have another event that I haven't mentioned. It's called the Success Circle and it's for leaders in the industry. And I forgot totally about that, which is weird because we have our first one next Thursday, Kathy, and that's my big project at the moment. But we had feedback that because to our events, our Ready, Set, Connect, it's mainly business development managers that come along and community engagement managers, not sort of that top level, CEOs, directors. So We had some feedback that they would like something to get together and discuss the issues that they have. So we're running an event. It's called the Success Circle, and it is not speed dating. It is the traditional mode of networking over wine and beer, which is my favourite sort of networking. And we're doing that here on Newcastle Harbour next Thursday, and it is featuring a panel of experts talking about contemporary leadership. So we'll have a lot of leaders in the room there and also some business services. So we're trying to connect providers with local business services, might be accountants, bookkeepers, IT services, things that they can potentially outsource to help build their efficiencies as they're sort of under admin burdens. So they're the kind of projects that Shell and I get involved with now. We try and get them started, evolve them, and then we hand them over to staff. So,
yeah.
But having your own business is wonderful. Obviously, it presents a lot of flexibility. You can create a team that you know will work well with you and work well with each other. Like, we've got a fantastic team culture, and we generally employ people that we've worked with before and know that will fit the team. So, yeah, we're certainly building something special.
From what you said earlier, you've got local team in Newcastle, but then you've got remote team as well. So
yes.
Are you guys managing a hybrid team?
Yes, everyone works from home. We do have a small office here in Newcastle where IT guys base themselves because they like to be together, the IT team. Everyone else works from home. Because we do a lot of travel, it just seems to work well that way. But we spend a lot of time doing this, Kathy, talking on video calls.
I know what that feels like.
Yeah. And we have a general manager who's wonderful. Her name's Bridget Walsh. She is great at keeping that team culture alive with a remote team. So we do a lot of things online. Like, we had an office sweep yesterday for Melbourne Cup, which I didn't win, unfortunately. We bring the team together at the awards and conference, obviously, but also we have another get-together. So we're really big on, connecting the team.
So with a hybrid work-from-home team, what other secrets have you got for creating and sustaining that great culture you speak to?
Yeah, well, we get together for birthdays. So we'll get the whole team together and we'll have a coffee at home, obviously, but everyone will just have their coffee and we'll have informal catch-ups over video. So it's not always formal meetings that we're having on video. It'll be informal catch-ups too. We do some online yoga sessions as well occasionally, get everyone together. What else? Oh, we do e-cards for birthdays. Everyone puts funny videos up. And we're just really close-knit team. We're trying to build a culture of everyone supporting one another, and so when you're in a small business, if someone goes on leave, it affects the whole team. So build a culture where people can step into each other's roles and cover when they need. And
we've got an appointment in our calendars because we also run a fully remote international team. We've got a session. It's just an hour booked every week, and it's just the co-working time. And so whatever you're working on, you can just jump onto Teams and, your work friends will be there and you might sort of digress a little from what you signed up for, and you might just chat and share some stuff, and it's at the end of the week, which is nice as well. It's just having some friends around while you're pottering around doing your work.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know whether I should mention this, but we also have this internal team bonding activity. It's called Ready, Set, Bet. And we have we all chip in and have a bet every week.
On what?
Or whatever you like. So we all pitch in. We've got it's on sports bet. We pitched in $35 each to begin with. So we've got this pool of money and we have a roster of whose turn it is to bet every weekend. So you can bet on horses or on golf or whatever's happening that weekend. So that's always a bit of a laugh too. So we tease the ones that don't make us any money and praise the ones that make us lots of money. And, making sure no one's developing a gambling
habit. I'm just going to leave that one hanging there. I'm just going to leave it there. But it speaks to that culture of what makes you laugh, right?
Yeah. We have lots of laughs. Yeah, that's right. We'll pay each other out. No one takes each other too seriously, so. Pretty good.
Oh, so loving, loving hearing a little bit more about this. So if we think about the guys that are listening to this conversation, they're allied health business owners. Do you think they need some invitation? Do you think would you like to see more of them in these Ready, Set, Connect events?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like
I find that people are always looking for allied health. People come to our events, and if we don't have many allied health providers there, they were like, oh, shame there weren't more allied health providers here. So it seems to be one of the more sought after services. So I definitely encourage them to come along. I think it would be a good step in. They're looking to attract more clients. It would definitely happen through our events because that's what people are looking for. Always seems, you know, if there's wait lists, people come to our events to find an OT or whatever that's available now.
Just thinking that could be one of the reasons why that so many allied health businesses have got wait lists that they, you know, are actively managing their current clients.
And that's what some of them, you know, who would usually come to our events, if they don't come, you're like, oh, why couldn't you make it to the event? And they say, well, we just don't have capacity. We can't take on any new clients, so there's no point in coming to your event. And
don't want to disappoint anyone.
Yeah, that's right. But, they wouldn't make a mistake by coming to the events. If they've got capacity, they will fill it.
Anything else you'd like listeners to kind of consider?
Really, Kathy, I just, don't underestimate the value of connection, I think, and working with other providers and being able to refer to one another and building those sort of relationships as well. And that's also what we're building at One Community, relationships where, you know, if someone is at capacity, they have, you know, someone to recommend and refer to another provider. So we're working really well together. That they refer to each other when they're at capacity. Yeah. It's not just trying to keep all the business to themselves. And, you know, it's all about the participant now, putting the participant first.
I wonder if what happens is that business owners just develop their own little micro networks and just get a little reliant on what could
they
be
do.
Quite a small, very, very historically based set of relationships rather than kind of getting a little out of their comfort zone and a little more out there and building some new, fresh networks as well.
Absolutely.
A risk just sticking with the people that you know, I think.
Oh, definitely. And, they get comfortable, I think, in that little environment. But, they will miss out or get behind if they don't branch out a little bit. It's just changing so much. New providers all the time and providers changing what they do and, yeah, you just got to keep up with it all. Otherwise, you'll be left behind.
Indeed, indeed. Kelly, thank you so much for coming in and sharing up good stuff. I'm going to try and get to the conference and I'll give you a wave.
I'd love that. Mm. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Love to see you there, Kathy. Yeah, thanks for your time today too.
Pleasure.
Giving me a platform to talk about One Community.
Oh, well, we'll have to get you back because we can sort of provide some ongoing updates for people as well. I'm a big fan of connection. And I think in contemporary business, it has lots of different looks and feels, you know. It's not just sitting in stuffy networking events. I would really be encouraging listeners to broaden their networks more so now than ever, 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 ever.
Yes. Yeah. And it can be a little bit overwhelming networking, but that's the joy of speed dating is that everyone meets everyone. You're not sort of standing in a corner thinking, who do I talk to? I'm too shy. Yeah, you're just sort of made to meet everyone and makes it easy. Makes networking easy. Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly, so much.
Thanks, Kathy. Speak to you later.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.